Following is an unrehearsed interview with Miss Bess Tunis, former librarian of the Danville and Ball County Library, by A.G. McConnell for the Kentucky Bicentennial Oral History Project. The interview was conducted at Friendship House, February 20th, 1977. In your room at the Friendship House, and I'd like to ask you what it is you're going to talk on this afternoon.
I'm going to talk of the business portion of Danville in the 1890s and 1900s.
I see. Now that's, of course, you were a young lady then.
No, I was born 84. So I was about 13, 14 years old.
I see. And what interesting things would you like to tell us about Main Street?
Well, I was just going to take the stores and then tell things about some of the owners, or the people who ran the stores, and what they did, and why I thought it was interesting. But that's all. I was going to start down at the depot of the Southern Railway, and there were only four passenger trains a day at that time, two going north, two going south. And one of those was the Bluegrass Special, which started at Junction City at 6 o'clock. And arrived Danville at 6:09. Captain McGraw was the conductor and a friend as well as that. And he went to Cincinnati and turned in and came back at 8 o'clock at night. And if you walked up street from the depot and came by Walnut Street, you found the old center building on the left and the classrooms on the right. It turned back of the cemetery of the first of the Presbyterian Church, and then on to Main Street and past the First Church, on up the hill to 4th Street, and there was the Mr. Foley's grocery store. Ms. Foley sold hats in one corner, and the family lived over the store. Then next came the Episcopal Church, which of course is still there. And next to that, Mr. Flagg had a jewelry store. He sold clocks and watches and rings and other jewelry. Also did repair work, and he only charged 10 cents for any job. But he did beautiful engraving. He was a German and had a family. Then came men's clothing, and Mr. That was a came next, and after that was a grocery store run by Mr. Holmes. He sent a boy, in a colored boy, in a horse and buggy each morning, and they took out orders that were carried out field later in the day. And as a child, I always hoped I could get to grandmother's and tell her things that I wanted. Then, after Mr. Flagg was Gibbons Paint and a paper store. And Mr. Wales was the first drugstore there. He gave a corner of it to the library. We had just a few books. And it moved four times before it got into its permanent home on Broadway and Third. And Mrs. Charles Rhodes was very good about helping us with our problems and getting money to pull through the hard times. In 1939, two sick-minded ladies, the Mrs. Young, died, leaving us money to build the present building. Now, I went back, and I stayed on for 51 years, having fun and joy in putting books and people together. Then on the grocery store came next. No, the Farmers National Bank came next. And that is still in the same location, with Durham and Cecil as a grocery on the corner. Across the street was the Gilcher Hotel, owned and operated by Mr. Peter and Rudolph Gilcher. The ground floor was the office, and over toward the 4th Street, they had bakery, candy, their poor Tatty was grand, and toys. Mrs. Peter Gentry ran that. Then came the Fox's Livery Stable, and that you could rent a horse and buggy for the afternoon. They also kept the horse and the hearse and the bus. The bus met the station for each passenger train and brought the people back uptown. Mr. C. N. Smith also had a store in there. Was called the Central Kentucky store, and he had carriages and buggies for sale. Across the street, on the other corner, on the second and third main going up, was Mr. Frank, J.P. Frank's store. He was a wholesale grocery, and he delivered his goods by a covered wagon and two horses. Then the funeral home of Mr. Dunlap and McGovern, Mr. Dunlap McGovern. They also sold furniture. Mr. Lillard came with the first soda water fountain. And then that was going west up Third Street, up Main Street. After that was Mr. Cobbler, Mr. Tracy, and he made shoes for both men, women, and even children. His daughter graduated in the class of 1901, his daughter Mary, same class that I did. And so Mr. McWaters had a jewelry store there. And on the corner was it, no, then Miss McGraw had a 10-cent store, the first 10-cent store. Corner was Welch Wiseman Company. And Mr. Wiseman ran the store with the help of four boys, four of his sons. Across the street, over the next corner, was a Robertson Cowell little store where piece goods were sold and notions. And next to that was Citizens National Bank. And next to that, where it was Lanier and Cowell had a shoe store, a men's shoe store. And after that was the Adler's harness shop. And he had a horse out in front, a wooden horse, and with a saddle and bridle. And at one time, his daughter had her picture taken on the horse. Then Boyer Bank and Trust Company came next. And that and Mr. Curry's drugstore, the last before the water fountain, given in memory of a Mrs. Gill, who was felt that the country horses that came to town had so little to drink all day that she had pity for them. And there was a place down below for the passing dog. Then next was the Clemens House, another hotel. And the lower part of that was the office, the office, and the palace of suits, yeah. And the colonial.
Oh yeah.
And that closed that side of the street. That street, then. And the other, both on both sides of the street, there were offices above, occupied by lawyers, dentists, and other professional men.
Oh.
My father's, his insurance office was there.
Could I ask a question at this point? Wasn't the Iron Baby Angel the name of that drinking fountain
that's
in front of the courthouse that Mr. McDowell wrote about in his book?
I had no use for him, no use for him. Oh, he told about it. He made D. Tucker the hero, so to speak, and he was just a rotten drunkard. That was all he was.
Now then.
What else did you want to ask?
The Clemens House, wasn't that?
It was a hotel.
Owned by Mr. Whitaker?
That I do not remember.
He owned it at the last, I think.
He owned it the last. I don't think he built it. Mm-hmm. I think a man named Clemens built it.
I see.
And It was only the first one where they, there was a suite of rooms for an old couple who lived there many years. Then, if we cross, let us go back. Did I say, did you catch that, that they were, offices were used for dentists?
And yes, I think some of those offices were owned by the Rhodes family and the Sandifer family.
Yes, different ones they were. But I didn't say who they were owned by because I was not positive which ones of which. But their offices were there. And also, at one time, early, two fraternities had up there, yes, the Betas and the Phis. If we go back to Third and Main, go back of the Robertson Quails, we find the Noel Sisters Millinery Store. Next to that were the Sam and Henry Lyons that had a men's clothing. They also built the Danville Laundry and Dry Cleaning, and Mr. John Nichols became the manager, we'll say. Then Press Shirley, the colored barber, and the post office was there. You went in and asked for your mail by person. There was a little, a few lock boxes. But it was very soon after that that we had house-to-house delivery. Shut up. House-to-house delivery. Victor Cheatham, colored man, was one of the first deliveries, and Mr. Mullins followed soon after. Now that's all of that. Now then, let's see what we want to do next. Second and third. The other, Mr. B.J. Durham and Mr. Scott, back of the Welch Wiseman Company on 3rd Street. Mr. Ed Fox, photographer studio, is next. Then a house, a residence, and then the Second Presbyterian Church. Now that I'm going back, in 1848, the First Presbyterian Church, became crowded. I can't believe it now. And Dr. John C. Young took a group of college students and built a small wooden church on 3rd Street. It was burned though. But long, about 7, or about 50-something. In 1869 and 70, the new brick church was built and called the Second Presbyterian Church. The first and the second kept separate identities until 1969, when they reunited and are now meeting at the First Church. Where, of course, there were the usual board of loafers. was happy to see you when I saw you first. Down Lexington. And I lived there many years. On the left was the old Coel College. After Women's College, Women's College, and then now belongs to Center. High school occupies the grounds where it was. My grandmother lived next door, and across the street was a residence where the first telephone exchange was housed. I think that's interesting. And the rest of Lexington Street was the mostly residences. Parades were given at Lexington. The first one I remember was the Labor Day. And they had that farm wagons drawn by horses or mules. They had the breaking of the rock that the people did to put on the pikes and the streets even in town. And then they had the horse that I spoke of before with his trappings for the leather man. They had, hay and shocks of hay and wheat and shell corn to represent the farmer. They had, last of all, before that, the horses.
Or the blacksmiths and farriers?
Blacksmiths. Yes, a blacksmith. Then the last of all that I loved was the hemp break. And the hemp herds, when they burned those in the spring, I loved to see it. I was told that many years earlier, there was a rope walk on what is now Wilderness Road, and the little red brick house is still standing where it started. And the rope, of course, went on ships that went a sea. Now, the hemp is grown in the back of some people's houses and sold for illicit purposes.
May I interrupt just a moment?
Yes, that's right.
Now this rope walk, how wide or how long was this walkway?
I do not know. It extended into the Lexington Pike, they said.
Quite long then.
Long, yes.
And made of hemp rope.
And made of hemp rope.
My, that must have been an expensive project to make
yes.
That.
Well, probably not. Problem just colored people. Anybody just rolled it up. But Father said that he heard that when he was first here.
Well, it didn't rot very easily, so it would have lasted a long time.
It lasted, yes. And they sent it on ships at sea.
I see. Well, that's sort of interesting about that hemp.
Well, I thought that hemp, yes, I thought that was should be told. And that now they use the hemp for all purposes.
Yes, yes, it is for illegal purposes now, really.
Yes, it is. They're not, old Mr. Banks Hudson had fields and fields and fields of hemp when I was growing up, just about this time that I'm writing this.
I see.
And I love to see the go out in the winter and see the hemp herds burning.
Well, did you know about the dangers of marijuana and
all that? Oh, mercy, no. Goodness, no.
You're all around you and no one took advantage of it.
No, no, no. You never heard of such a thing. Well, they never smoked the hemp. I mean, children, young people didn't use it that way.
But what's going on now is fairly recent then.
Oh, yes, very recent, yes. I should say it was in the last, well, at the outside 20 years, I should say 10 years.
That's interesting, very interesting.
So, that's that. Other parades were the Center College Carnival floats, and now the bands lead the way to the ball games. The one thing that I, one building that I loved very much was the first building for the 2nd Street of the School for the Deaf. I was fortunate in having two wives who are the principals who loved me, and they would invite me down to spend the night. I loved to hear the watchman come by every hour, knock on the door. It gave me a chilly sensation, and yet security.
Railroading is a hobby.
Oh, yes.
Do you remember
what I had your, I rode in that caboose, I bet. When I was a little girl, we went to Junction once, and my mother lived in Indiana. And so Father put her on the train to get her to go to Indiana. She went by the way of Louisville, went on that Louisville-Nashville railroad.
Yeah.
And I, when Father, I had to come back to Danville in the caboose.
I see.
So it may have been your caboose.
Might have been. That was quite an experience, wasn't it?
It was. Oh, yes.
Were there any wood-burner trains in there that you remember?
Woodbury.
That had the big funnel-shaped smokestacks?
No, I don't remember.
I imagine
it were, though, but I just, yeah. I didn't go to the railroad track very often. I didn't get down that far.
Well, that would be interesting.
We'd see the smoke coming out of the stacks as it went by. It went old 20 miles from our house in the country. See, I was born in that brick house that Dr. Hiphill afterwards bought on the road that goes down to the river. What do they call it? Wells Landing Road. Mm-hmm. I was born in that brick house. And I lived there till I was 13. Then we came to town.
Well, that's very, very interesting. Well, I certainly enjoyed having you make this tape and being with you on it. And
I think I'd do better if I do it again.
Well, you may get the opportunity.
I probably wouldn't leave out some of the things I put in, but I think I got everything in that is important. And I don't think there's anything else.
Well, thank you, Mr. Best, for this.
But I'm glad to do it, and I don't think there's anything else, as I said.